Well, I pray that God is using you in a powerful way. How awesome it is to realize that your life has a purpose and a focus. And it's not just I'm saved and I'm going to heaven, but you are in an intimate pursuit of God so that he can live through you and be the life that people need around you. You and I are the ambassadors of the kingdom of God. We represent the kingdom of God, and our responsibility is to live out the word of God so that people would see the relevance of the world, of the word in this world. And as we are living our lives, we are not just living randomly or even at the disposal of the situations that take place around us, but we are living our lives with purpose and intent. Our goal is to bring the kingdom of God into the midst of us. And we have been talking about God being our sole proprietor. He owns us. He is the one who gives us life. He is the one who enables us and strengthens us. And as a result, we are in intimate pursuit, an intimate pursuit of God. That means he is our focus. He is the one we are chasing after. We are following behind him. And that is so important to remember, especially in days like these. And so our lead verse for today is Matthew 6:33, which says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." This is God giving us a prescription for divine provision, for God providing for us. He is fully aware of our situations, our circumstances. He knows what's going on in the world, and he understands the challenges and difficulties that we face, and he has a plan to enable us to overcome. God has a plan that is designed to bring victory into our lives. And so I would like to use as a theme today, whom or what do you seek? Whom or what do you seek? Well, are you ready for the word of the Lord today? Yes. Amen. Well, let's pray. Lord, we are so thankful for your word. And we ask God that you would come alive in the midst of us, that you would manifest yourself in our lives every day, that you would show yourself. Help us, Lord God, to be the people that you've called us to be, that we would have an impact on the people that you have brought into our lives. Help us to live beyond ourselves and operate under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, that your will would be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Well, we are living in a world of confusion. There has probably been no greater season of confusion in my lifetime than this. And you and I are going through this whole life experience together with coronavirus and with all of the shut-in requirements and all of the mask wearing that is as necessary in our culture and society today, but it ought not rob us of our identity. And you and I have been called to represent the kingdom of God. And Satan would do everything he can to cause division and confusion. And you and I have to be very careful during seasons like this, where the culture has been one that is designed to bring division. Everything about this coronavirus process is contrary to the word of God and the will of God in what God has called his people to do and be. The coronavirus says, stay home. God says, go into all the world. Coronavirus says, wear a mask. And God says, show yourself real and true and faithful in the midst of the people. And coronavirus says shut in and hide yourself, withdraw. And God says, gather together all the more as you see evil in the world. We are living in probably one of the most evil seasons of our lifetimes. And certainly we know that God is in the midst of all of these things. In fact, so many people are looking for Jesus to return right now. Come back, Lord, right? And we want Jesus to come back. And that is a good thing that the Lord would come back. But we know that there's a good chance that it won't be today. And so we know that the Word of God tells us there are certain things that must happen before Christ returns. And there are certain preliminaries that are taking place. And many people are getting hung up on this pursuit, if you will, of last day theology, this eschatological move that is going around. And certainly, if you are a person who is getting your theology from YouTube and internet, you know, you have internet theology and YouTube theology, Facebook theology, all these different things that social media that is being provided. But that is not what we ought to be pursuing. We ought to be pursuing the kingdom of God. It is the one thing that God says that we are to pursue that encompasses everything about the Christian life and the fruit of the Spirit and goodliness and godliness. These are the things that God has called us to pursue in order to preserve our witness in the world. And as much as we all would like to study when Jesus is coming back and all of that, it's so easy to get caught up in that and you end up missing God. I've seen so many videos of random people sitting in their living room pontificating and reading off of various visions and words from God that have been passed on from one person to the next and all kinds of things that are going on. These are really, in many ways, a type of distraction. And you and I cannot get caught up in these things. And certainly, there is some truth to a lot of what's going on. I grew up in the 70s where it was big to study eschatology. It was a big part of the Christian culture back in those days. And there were a lot of things that were said and espoused by various different people on TV, and certainly that were being taught, books that were being read. They didn't have internet back in those days, but nevertheless, it was something that was pontificated over many, many times over those years. And certainly, it's something that the Bible does speak generally of, and God does not give us specifics. And therefore, it is not a specific theology. It is general. In fact, there are at least 3 to 5 or 6 different viewpoints on how all this comes together. And all of them can be substantiated in the Word of God. And that's because God has not given us to know times or seasons. And there are certain things that God has made clear in the Word of God. And then there are other things that, you know, we can search out and we can look at and we can get a general idea or a general perspective. But God has designed it so that you will not know the details. And we will not know the details of a lot of these things. In fact, God summarizes it by saying no one knows the day nor the hour. And so we don't know when Christ will return. We don't know. But we know the general season or the type of season. We know that it will be like Sodom and Gomorrah and the days of Noah when he returns. We know there are certain signs. But even in Matthew 24, when it gives us this layout, and also in Luke, where it explains the conditions and the seasons of the last days, even then, it's summarized, the writers summarize by saying, both in Matthew and Luke, that that these things are birth pangs. They're just the beginning. And so as we see all the things that are happening, we're actually at the beginning. These are the signs. That tells us to become more diligent. The whole purpose in knowing the seasons and the times that we're in is that we would become that much more diligent at seeking the kingdom of God. And so during this season, during these times of difficulty and challenges and hardships and sickness and disease and all these types of things that are happening around us, all types of pestilence that are in the world, certainly there are signs that we should be conscious of. We know that they've created a chip that can be implanted in people that is designed not only to do credit transactions from your bank, but also to monitor your health and your bodily functions and all these things, and actually enable you to log on to the internet and track yourself. So all of this stuff is all in the world today. We know these things are happening all around us. But what is our focus to be as the people of God? What is it that we ought to be about? God has not called us to be in pursuit of anything outside of the kingdom of God, because it's important that you actually are born of the Spirit of God. And so many people are not only not born of God, they're just religious, but those who are born of God are easily thrown off track because Satan is a master deceiver. He is one who brings confusion into every work. Wherever you see robbing or theft, right, killing and destruction, you know that those are the general tools that Satan uses. You know that that is not the attribute of God, but is a demonic strategy to bring chaos and confusion. The Bible says where there is confusion, there is every evil work. And that is why Satan tries to stir up confusion in people's lives. It's in the world all around us. It's in relationships, in people's homes. It's in the workplace. It's literally everywhere. It's in the streets. You watch on the news. There's all kinds of different things that are designed to bring chaos and confusion. And that is the work of Satan. But the work of God is to bring order out of the chaos. God brings order out of chaos. And what his desire is for you and I, as agents of the Spirit of God, to be able to go and to bring life to those that we encounter along life's way. Now, maybe you're like the woman in the video who goes to Sonic on a regular basis. Maybe you go to, I don't know, she had Dairy Queen on the table there as well. Yeah, she didn't talk about that. She talked about Sonic. But, you know, certainly, you know, I know Alex, he goes to ShopRite. And there's some other places that people go. Some people go to Walmart. And others go to Sam's Club. And there's some people are at the mall. But wherever you go, God is able to use you in those places if you have a mind of the kingdom. If your focus is the kingdom of God. If you are thinking, I am an agent of the kingdom of God. I am an agent of the Spirit of God, and God has called me into this place to be his ambassador, to be his representative. I am here with a mission and a purpose. Do you know your mission and your purpose? Well, the mission and purpose of every believer is go into the world and preach the gospel, to bring the message of the gospel, to bring the word of the Lord. And our goal is to have the or seize the opportunities in order to bring Christ into the lives of those that God brings our way. And so God needs us to be on an intimate pursuit. And so if we're seeking the kingdom of God, the word seek here means the word azeteo. And what that means is, as we're probably familiar, it means to seek God by asking questions, by investigating and researching so that you can get to the bottom of a matter. And the idea is that you're looking for truth. You're looking for what is right. It's being able to focus on the moral attitude, or what is at the bottom, what is the right thing. Sometimes people are searching out matters because they want to discredit or disprove something, or they want to justify something. But that is not what God is talking about here. He is talking about being able to have a godly moral conviction. So when we're seeking the kingdom of God, it is to bring us to a place where we are trusting and walking with God in faith and in righteousness and in truth, where our ways and our desires are conformed to God's. So it's not my way, but it's God's way. It's not my will, but God's will be done. It's not what I think or what I want. It's what is God saying and what does God want. And if we're not careful, we can easily get thrown off and we can find ourselves in a place of confusion where we are rendered ineffective. The ultimate question is, how many people have you impacted for Christ since coronavirus began? How many people have you shared your story and your testimony with that help people draw closer to God? Or were you a victim of the circumstances and the situations that we're in? Were you of a different mindset where your focus was on something else? Maybe you didn't even think about how you could share your life with someone, how you could testify, how you can even reap of all that God has done in your life. Have you thought about your blessings over these past few months? Have you thought about what God has done for you over this past year and how you can use that which God has done for you to help someone else? You see, this is what our focus ought to be. But if our focus is rooted in selfishness or our own ways and our own desires and what's good for us and what we're trying to do, I'm just trying to survive. Then you've forgotten who you are. You should be doing more than surviving. You ought to be thriving, because God has raised you up even in the midst of the darkness, and you are able to shine with the light of Christ and of God. And so in Luke 12, 22 to 34, it says, "And he said to his disciples, Jesus, for this reason I said to you, do not worry about your life as to what you will eat, nor for your body as to what you will put on. For life is more than food, and the body more than clothing. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap. They have no storeroom nor barn, and yet God feeds them. How much more valuable you are than the birds." I always pause when I get to this verse because I think about, you know, modern day storage closets. You know, when you think of closets, I remember somebody told me the story how their wife took up all the space in their closet and made them go out and use a closet down the hall, because she had so much stuff that it just crowded him out. And rather than get rid of stuff, she decided she was going to put her husband's stuff out and put it in a different room. Now, you know, there's a problem when you're at that stage. I'm sorry, but there's just something wrong with that. If your closet doesn't hold all your stuff, you don't need more closet space. You just need less stuff. And if you can see that the stuff you have is an opportunity to bless someone else, then you can give something away and bring your stuff down to a normal size closet. Hallelujah. You ever think about that? I remember in when I was growing up, you know, my friends, you know, they say, yeah, my parents have a walk-in closet. And I'd be like, ooh, because my room in my closet was like, dink. You know, right there, that was it. And a dresser. And everything I had fit in there just fine. But the walk-in closet, I'm like, wow, what is that? I'm like, what is a walk-in closet? And I remember visiting their house, and I go in, and they open the door, and it was like, oh. And they had racks that went down and around, and, you know, maybe it was 4 or 5 feet, you know, not too bad, just big enough for you could go in and do something. It's like walk in. It's just I could walk in the closet. I knew I didn't have that in my house. I couldn't walk into my closet. I would walk into a coat hanger if I tried to walk into my closet, right? So I was thinking, wow, this is really cool. But now we have whole rooms as closets now. Now they have, you know, they have these suites. Have you ever seen HGTV, right? Yeah. You've seen this, where they have these rooms next to the room, right? And then so you open the door to get your stuff, and it's a whole nother room. And then you're like able to walk in. It's like going to the dress barn or to, you know, or somewhere, you know, one of these stores in the mall, you know, I don't know, you know, these, you know, you go in and there's like racks of stuff along the wall, shelves all along the wall. You know, it's like you're shopping in a mall, but you're in somebody's house off their bedroom. At what point do you have too much stuff? Because most people are just not wearing all that stuff in their closet. In fact, most people forget what they even have in their closets. You're walking through, you peruse something, you pull one thing out, and you happen to see something. Oh, yeah, I forgot about this. Look at that. You know, if you're forgetting about what's in your closet, just maybe, you just got too much stuff. And so we shouldn't be focused on getting all of this stuff. We shouldn't be storing up our treasures, our earthly treasures, but we ought to be storing up treasures in heaven. And let what you have be a blessing to someone who does not have. And so I would encourage you to look to God to provide for you, to make a way for you, to open doors for you. Verse 25 says, "And which of you by worrying can add a single hour to his lifespan? If then you cannot do even a very little thing, why do you worry about other matters?" Isn't it interesting how God says, if you can't do a little thing like add a single hour to your life, what? God says, that's a little thing. That's a little thing. Just, you know what? I think I'll add an extra hour to my life today. Just today. Who says that, right? None of us can do that. Apparently God can, right? Apparently God can do it. God has the ability because he has time in his hands. And for God, he says, that's a little thing. That's like nothing. I could just, a day is like 1,000 years. It's like, yeah, you need an hour? Yeah, come on. Forget an hour. Take a whole day. That, yeah, 1,000 years. And ultimately, we know that he will reign for 1,000 years, and that is coming. But God says, if you can't do this very little thing, why are you worried about things like your own safety, your own provision, your own needs, all these things? It says God provides for his people, and God will make a way for us. He will open doors for us. He says in verse 27 here, "Consider the lilies, how they grow and neither toil nor spin. But I tell you, not even Solomon in all his glory clothed himself like one of these." But if God so clothed the grass in the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the furnace, how much more will he clothe you, you men of little faith? And so do not seek what you will eat and what you will drink. And do not keep worrying. For all these things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things. And so here is God. He's telling us, he's saying, hey, don't worry. Just as I provide for the birds and all the animals in the world, I will provide for you. I will cause your needs to be met. I already know what you need before you know that you need them. This is how awesome God is. And when you're faithful to God, he will make a way for you. He will provide. He opens doors. He enables you to overcome. The world is in a state of confusion and chaos, and it's designed to take your eyes off of the kingdom of God and onto the situation that the world has created and is in. But you are not of this world. You are of the kingdom of God. So we keep our eyes stayed on the Lord, and we maintain perfect peace as a result. You see, wherever your focus is, then that's, you're going to experience whatever the spirit of that thing is that your mind is focused on. And this is why we stay focused on the Word of God, on the truths of God, those things which are sure and right and true. And we are careful not to get caught up in theories and speculations that random people have because they woke up thinking about it in the middle of the night. You and I have been called to represent the kingdom of God, the Word of God, accurately dividing the word of truth, the Word of God says. And you and I must be sure that we know that the world is going to create an atmosphere and a mindset that is contrary to God to get us to be thrown off our course. But you and I must stay true to the Word of God, stay focused on the Word of God, and you will see the faithfulness of God. He will provide, He will open doors, and He will make a way for you. He says, "These things the nations of the world eagerly seek, but your Father knows that you need these things." And so God knows the things that you need. He knows your provision, and He will cause you to find yourself in a place when the blessings of God are provided. God is orchestrating and ordering the steps of the righteous so that we can receive what we need to receive and deliver what we have been called to deliver. It's a matter of sowing and reaping. And as we sow the Word of God and the things of God, we reap the provision and the covering of God. And the Spirit of God will seal you. He will cover you. He will enable you. In Luke 12:31, he says, "But seek His kingdom, and these things will be added to you." Does that sound like a math equation? If you seek the kingdom of God, you will reap a full closet of things that you actually will wear. Hallelujah. If you seek the kingdom of God, He will breathe life, health, and strength into you. He will cover you. He will sustain you. He will make a way for you. You will have the food that you need. You will have whatever resources you need in order to pay your bills and to be sustained, and that you will be able to have a testimony of how God is able to provide for His people. This is what God is doing. This is the miracle that is at work in each of our lives. Verse 32 says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has chosen gladly to give you the kingdom." Let me ask you this. If God says He's going to give you something, what do you think? You think you're going to get it? Do you think if God says, "I'm giving you this," do you think He's going to, when you go to get it, He's going to pull it back and say, "Psych, you're mine"? You know? You think He's going to go, "Ha ha ha, just kidding"? You know, no. If God says, "Don't be afraid," that He's going to gladly give us the kingdom of God if we are in pursuit of the kingdom of God, then how much can we rely and trust in God? If we are faithful to God, God will be faithful to us. That is a declaration of the Word of God. And so even when there's chaos and confusion in the world, we stay focused on the will and the Word and the ways of God. And as a result, everybody else is going, "NEM, NEM, help, help." And we're just going, "Praise Him, praise Him, hallelujah." We sail through. And instead of the wind being a hurricane and a whirlwind spinning us all around, it's a sail in our lives. And we're just like, "Lovely day for a day out on the water." Why? Because God is making provision for us. And the storms and the challenges of difficulty in life can be a storm for somebody over there, and somebody over here could be seeing this opportunity of God in divine provision and his covering. The question is, which do you want in your life? Because God is able to sustain his people. He is able to enable you to experience the kingdom of God in your life. And so this passage is probably another familiar one. And he says, sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts, which do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes to near or moth destroys. And so basically he's saying to, you know, get rid of your stuff and let God use it for his glory. Why? So that you ultimately would be able to have this as your testimony because of this very principle. And it is, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How many of you have heard that verse before, right? For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. How many of you have heard this verse? Sell your possessions and give to charity. Make yourselves money belts that don't wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near nor moth destroys, right? Nobody, right? Nobody has heard this verse. You may have gleaned by it. You've read it surely at one point or another, but you just didn't really let it stick. You were just jumping over that to get here. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's it. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, you can't get here without first having been here. So you first begins by saying, stop stockpiling stuff and sell it, give it away, whatever you got to do, but let it be a blessing so it's not being eaten by moths and you're finding yourself, you know, in a place where you just got a full walk-in closet of stuff that you don't really wear. Or you wear once a year. Hallelujah. God is calling us to store up our treasures in heaven. Don't get caught up in the wrong thing. We could probably not go shopping for a year and still have plenty of things to wear. And certainly, if we had more than enough to wear, then that means we even could help somebody else so that they too probably wouldn't have to shop for another year just because we have a walk-in closet. Hallelujah. And not that these things are bad. It's just that they are distractions, or they are potential distractions, so that we are failing to be the witness that God has called us to be. And so maybe your walk-in closet is a little shop or store that people can come in and glean from. Maybe you ought to think of it that way. Next time you open your largely filled closet with all kinds of goodly items inside, maybe you ought to invite the homeless or some random person who might be in need that you might meet at Sonic. They might say, oh, I really wish I had a new wardrobe. Well, gee, I have a walk-in closet. I got plenty of things that you could glean from. Why don't you come by and peruse my shelves? You see, we could be a blessing to so many people if we focus on the right thing. And I'm not saying that, you know, you have to get rid of all your stuff, but let's consider that God has blessed us with all that we have for the purpose of being a blessing to someone else, that we would be able to help others come to a place of divine provision. He says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field, he says, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown in a furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? God is calling us to trust in him. Don't put your focus on the things that you need in this world, or the items that you need in this world that are beyond what you really need, but stay focused on the kingdom of God. God will make provision for you. He will open doors for you. He will make a way even when it seems impossible. In verse 31, it says, do not worry then, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear for clothing? God will provide. God will make a way. It says, the Gentiles eagerly seek these things, for your heavenly Father knows what you need, or that you need all these things. God knows what you need. Our trust and our faith ought to be in Him. He knows our provision. And so when we stay focused on the Lord, when we stay steadfast on Him, we are then able to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things God will add. God will add what you need in your life. He will make provision of the things that you need in your life. And so we don't have to get caught up in a lot of stuff that's going on. We need to represent the kingdom of God. Our goal is to bring the gospel to people. Back to the question, how many people have you shared your faith or life or testimony with since this coronavirus pandemic began? How many people have you led to the Lord or shared God's way and His covering and His word with, so that you would be an ambassador of the kingdom of God in their lives? God is using this time, this season, as an opportunity for His people. He says in verse 34, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that right? The world is filled with troubles. Every day there is one thing or another that is troublesome that comes our way. But when we are fixed on the Lord, when we are focused on God, when we are walking in His way, when we are looking for the opportunities that the Spirit of God is providing for us, then we are able to see God's hand in the midst of us. This woman was looking to be used of God. That simple prayer she prayed, she said, God, use me, help me. Help me to have more of an impact. Name three people in your life that you would like to see come to Christ or be impacted by the gospel. She said, I couldn't think of anybody. How many people can we think of? I'm sure you and I could think of at least three people. And there are opportunities every time we go out into the world to be the witness and the ambassador that God has called us to be. So don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And so John 1:35 says, again, the next day, John was standing with two of his disciples. And he looked at Jesus as he walked and said, behold, the Lamb of God. And here, and Michal kind of brought this out last week beautifully, we see that John recognized Jesus when he came. The question is, do you recognize Jesus when the opportunities come your way? Do you know that God is with you always? He walks with you. He is there with you. The Spirit of the Lord indwells us, the scripture says. And so Christ is always there. The Spirit of God is always there. And as we go, we need to see godly opportunities. We need to see the hand of God as it presents itself. And he says, behold, the Lamb of God. John recognized Jesus as the Lamb of God. They probably knew that Jesus was Jesus, but they didn't see him as the Lamb of God. And the two disciples heard him speak, and so they followed Jesus. Are you willing to speak in a way that enables people to hear Jesus and follow him? Are you sharing words that bring life to people and encourage them and motivate them to be drawn closer to God? This is what we ought to be doing. We ought to be consciously thinking of how we can be the ambassadors, the witness, and the testimony that people need to hear so that they too can be drawn closer to God. This is the whole reason you're saved and still alive. This is why you didn't get saved and just go poof. I'm in the presence of the Lord. Oh. God left us here so that we could be his witnesses, so that we could testify of him. Verse 38 says, and Jesus turned and saw them following and said to them, what do you seek? And they said to him, Rabbi, which means teacher, where are you staying? Every time I read this, I think of my Aunt Eva. My Aunt Eva, she was in one of those homes because she was not really in her right mind. And so we would pick her up every once in a while when I was a kid. And we would get her in the car and we would say, Aunt Eva, where are you hungry? What do you want to eat? My parents would ask. And so she would say, huh, leave me alone. I don't know what time it is. I'd be like, what? No. What do you want to eat? Where do you want to go? We're going to get something to eat. What do you want? I don't know. I don't know what time it is. Leave me alone. I don't know what time it is. And I think that that is kind of what Jesus probably felt here in this passage. Jesus turns to them and sees them falling. He says, hey, what do you guys want? What are you seeking? And then they turn to him and they say, well, Lord, where are you staying? Where are you staying? What? No. What do you want? What do you ask? And here is Jesus asking one thing, and they are giving the response to something just a little bit different. And sometimes we're not quite on track or on par. And we know that when we're seeking God and when God is looking for us, we kind of are expecting God in one way, but the Word of God says something else. And we have to learn how to tweak ourselves so that we can come into alignment with God. Now, we know that these disciples were ultimately saying to Jesus, they were saying, hey, wherever you go, we want to go. Whatever you're doing, that's what we want to do. And that is the heart of a true disciple. A disciple is one who sells everything or gives up all that he has in order to follow Jesus. And that's what these disciples were doing. They were saying, Lord, wherever you will go, we want to go. And he says to them, come and you will see. So they came and saw where he was staying. And they stayed with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. And so here is Jesus now allowing these disciples to stay with him and to go where he goes. He didn't say, well, I don't know who you are. You can't come stay with me. My goodness, you might rob me. And I may come into my walk-in closet and find half my stuff missing. But Jesus received them and allowed them to follow. He allowed them to go where he goes. And Christ will accept anyone who comes to him if their heart is genuine and pure. And you and I can come to him. We can walk with him. We can commune with him. God will make a way and he will make provision for us when we are of a right heart and mind. Remember, that is what zeteo means. We are looking to the heart of the matter. That is what God is doing. He is searching out the hearts of people. And you and I, if our heart is right, we will follow him. We will stay in alignment with him. We'll be in pursuit of God. God has called us to follow him. Have you ever followed somebody and then got distracted and lost track of them? You ever been driving in a car and you're following somebody ahead of you? And you get this, you're driving along and all of a sudden you see something, you go, oh, wow, look at that. Man, that is nice. Oh, wow, look, what's over there? What's over here? And the next thing you know, you look up and the person you were following, you can't find them anymore. All of a sudden, you lost them. Or maybe they were the type of driver that just was dipping in and out of the cars and you're trying to, like, keep up. And especially at night, this gets challenging, right? Because now you got to memorize the light pattern of the car you're following. And so now you're trying to make sure that you see. And man, they're just going. And they're cruising along and they know where they're going. They're going the way that they're going. And your job is to keep up. Hallelujah. There are two types of people that you follow. one knows you're there, and then you are trying to actually lead in a way where people can follow. And then there's the other that says every man for himself. If you want to make it there, you better stick with me. Because if you don't, then you're on your own and you're lost, right? So if you don't pay attention, you know, you're going to get sidetracked. And so what happens is the Christian life gets a little more complicated, because even though Jesus knows that you're there and he's trying to go in a way where you can follow him, the devil knows that you're following him and tries to cut you off so that you lose sight or can't keep track of the Jesus that you're trying to follow. And that is the chaos and the confusion that exists in the world. And that's what exists even in the church. And if we get caught up on the wrong things and getting caught up on things that God says, don't worry about those things so much. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. In the end, you'll get it. You'll get it straightened out. I'll make the way clear and you don't have to worry too much, but you just need to know the general idea of it and then stay focused and do what I called you to do. Be found so doing when I return. Don't be like the master who, when he returned, found his workers not working, or the one who had the money, that the talents, who buried it in the ground rather than using it to make 5 talents or 10 more talents. You don't want to be people like that. You want to be those who are actually effective at doing the will of God. You want to be found so doing when he returns. And so he says, come and you will see. And they came in and they stayed with Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 4, Paul says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, it is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. But to me, it is a very small thing that I may be examined by you or by any human court. In fact, I do not even examine myself, for I am conscious of nothing against myself. Yet I am not by this acquitted, but the one who examines me is the Lord. Therefore, do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and discloses the motives of men's hearts. And then each man's praise will come to him from God. And so all of that to say that as we are seeking God, as we are pursuing God, we ought to make sure that we are staying focused on the things that are right. There are a lot of little things that are even Christian or biblical that can sidetrack us, and we can find ourselves getting caught up in it, but we don't want to get stuck on those things. We want to make sure that we are being faithful to the Great Commission, to the call of God, to accomplishing God's will and his purpose in our lives, and not get stuck on, oh no, these are the last days. Oh no, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? Oh, I got to make sure I don't take the mark. No, we don't have to worry about those things. We're aware of them, but we don't have to worry about them. We are knowing that God is our cover. We are abiding in the shelter of the Almighty. We know that God is making the way. He is opening the door. In fact, the scripture says, even when Jesus returns, every eye will see him. God is not doing things in a cloak of darkness. The mystery of God is in that we don't know the details, but when it happens, we will know and he will make us aware. And at that time, God will enable us to be in a right place in a right state. What good is it to be concerned about something that you can't do anything about, that you can't control or fix? We all know that these things are coming. We all know that these things are happening. But that means we ought to be all the more diligent on gathering together, like the Word of God says. And we ought to be all the more diligent about our pursuit in God and his Word. And we can't necessarily see what's going wrong in our own lives, but God is able to see. And God will tweak us. And he set up the mechanisms for us to be redeemed and transformed, molded and shaped into the image of Christ, Remember, Christ is coming for a church without spot or wrinkle. And if he is coming back for a church without spot or wrinkle, that means you and I need to align ourselves with God and his word. And we don't have to get worried about all these things that are being used to stir confusion and to actually instill fear and bring chaos into our lives. We need to stay focused on God's ability to provide and make a way for us and not allow Satan to bring that into our homes. And so he says, don't go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts. God is concerned about motives of heart. God is concerned about us being focused on fulfilling the call of God. And God will give each one the praise that is necessary. I'm looking for one praise. Everything else is just bonus. Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord. That's a good praise, isn't it? That's what I'm looking for. And I know this, that whether the Antichrist comes, he's going to get a whole lot of stuff, you know, mortgage, car payments. He's got all kinds of stuff that he can take over. And I can just enter into the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Glory to God. And God is able to enable us to overcome. In the meantime, we persevere in God. We are in pursuit of God. We are seeking God. Are we seeking God as individuals? Are we seeking God as families? Are we seeking God as a church? Because that is what God has called us to do. We pursue the Lord, and together we are able to overcome and accomplish the obstacles that Satan brings into our lives. And so Ecclesiastes 12:13 says, the conclusion is, when all has been heard, is fear God and keep his commandments. Because this applies to every person. For God will bring every act to judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Hallelujah. God will bring all these things into the light. And you and I are here to represent the kingdom of God. You and I are here to be in pursuit of God, that we are to stay focused. God will work all these details out. He will work all these things out. We know that there is plenty to be concerned about in a general sense. However, at the same time, it ought not distract us from our mission, from our purpose, from what it is that God has called us to do. In fact, he says, for God will bring every act into judgment, everything which is hidden, whether it is good or evil. Hallelujah. So good and evil, God will expose, and he will navigate us through. He will enable us to overcome, and every obstacle that comes our way, God will enable us to conquer it. And that's why Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Notice the language that is used here in the original text. The faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction, which is a matter of the heart, which the heart or the root of a person, of things not seen. So God is able to enable us by faith. For it says, for by it the men of old gained approval. He says, by faith we understand that the words were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. In other words, God has the ability to change things just like that. It may look one way, but God can speak something, and something that wasn't there before can show up. Hallelujah. That's the awesomeness of God. And this is why we have faith in God. We have faith in God because it may look one way, but that doesn't mean anything. It means nothing. Because as far as you and I are concerned, God only has to do one thing different, speak to someone, put something on someone's heart, and it changes everything for you and me. It will change the whole trajectory of our lives and of our future. Why? Because God was able to speak one word into somebody's heart and it changes everything. And that is why we can have faith in God. We can trust in God and not look at the things that we see taking place around us. We use those things to gauge us so we know what we ought to be focused on, or more intently focused on, so that we can be effective at being the witnesses that God has called us to be. So verse 4 says, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous. God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. And so you and I, we need the witness or the testimony that Abel had. We don't want the testimony of Cain. We want the testimony of Abel, that even when we're dead, our life will still speak. Hallelujah. Your life will still speak. That you will be able to have a witness in the world, that somebody's life will have been impacted because of your faithfulness. And when you and I are faithful to God and we are operating in faithfulness, we change the direction of people's lives. We enable them to shift from darkness into light. And that is why it's so important to go into the world to bring the gospel, to represent the truth of God. He goes on and he says, by faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. Do you see what we need here? We need to be pleasing to God. When we're pleasing to God, then you can be raptured, right? Because Enoch was essentially raptured. He was taken up. That's what that word means. And when you and I are faithful to God, we are walking with God, then God can take us up. He can receive us to himself. And at the end of our lives, or at the time that is appropriate according to God's timetable, we want God to have been pleased with our lives. I don't know about you, but I want my life to be pleasing to God. And I want to be able to have an impact so that when people remember me, they will say, this is the person that impacted my life. They told me about Christ. They shared the gospel of the Lord with me. You and I must build this testimony in our lives every opportunity we can have. And so without faith, Hebrews says, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Or he is a rewarder of those who seek him. And the word diligent is implied there. And so you and I must be in a pursuit of God. We must be seeking the kingdom of God. I pray that you are seeking the kingdom of God, not just by reading the Bible and praying and all these things, but by sharing your story, that your words are life-giving words, that you will be able to speak the word of God into somebody's life and change the whole direction of their lives. You and I can do it. You can do it at Sonic. You can do it at Stewart's. You can do it at Walmart or ShopRite or wherever you go. You have the power of God. I pray that you're a faithful steward of God, faithful of the kingdom of God, pursuing him. Isaiah 55, 6 and 7 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return to the Lord, and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Hallelujah. God wants us to get right with him. He wants us to be reconciled with him so that we can get to work and be used to represent the kingdom of God. Amos 5:14 says, seek good and not evil that you may live. And thus may the Lord God of hosts be with you, just as you have said. I love this. He says, seek good and not evil that you may live. Because it implies that if you don't do this, you may die. You may die. If you don't see good and not evil, you may end up. So this is life-giving. This is God saying, hey, guys, if you want life, life-giving life, then do good. Seek good. Look for the opportunity to do good. This woman went to a Sonic drive-thru for a year looking, and she built a relationship where she ended up being a blessing, doing laundry for some random drive-up attendant. What? You know, only God can do that. Only God can do that kind of stuff. So you and I, we can be used of God. Don't underestimate the opportunities that we have before us. And so he says, seek good and not evil, and that you might live. He says, hate evil, verse 15. Love good and establish justice in the gate. Perhaps the Lord God of hosts may be gracious to the remnant of Joseph. When he talks about justice in the gate, he says, establish a system of justice so that when people come to you, that you will treat them fairly. When people interact or they're looking for your help or your advice, give them godly advice. That's justice in the gate. It represents the elders who would sit at the gate and they would hear like a court where they would come and people would bring their problems and their issues and their disputes and they would work them out. You and I are hearing people's stories all the time. How many times have you heard somebody complain about a problem they've had or difficulties they've had, challenges and all this stuff, especially with coronavirus and shut in and masks? You can't go anywhere without somebody complaining about something. How much is that an opportunity to bring the words of life to them? To let them see how God is able to change their lives just by speaking the words of life. This is what God has called us to do. In Psalm 34:10, he says, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Isn't that exciting? Oh, this is motivation to seek the Lord. God will make sure that you don't lack any good thing. Hallelujah. He'll even get you a PS5 if you need it. Hallelujah. Praise God. You need a good thing, right? I don't know. Maybe you want an Xbox. I don't know. But he goes on, he says in Matthew 7, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be open to you. And so the idea is when you're hungry for something, when you're looking for something, when you're in need of something, pursue God first. Seek God and he will cause your need to be met. He will open the door. When you go to God, then you begin to see a pattern that God is the one. If I pray about something and I seek God and I talk to God about it, God will bring someone into my life through the drive up to speak to me. Hallelujah. Maybe not the drive up. Maybe it's somebody that you know, somebody that you're running into. But God will make provision for you. He will open it up to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. And so 119:1 says of Psalms, how blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. This is the law of the Lord. This principle is a divine principle. We bring everything before God as we are in pursuit of him, as we are following him. God makes a way for us. He says, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. When it all comes down to it, is your heart surrendered to God? Are you genuinely seeking God, wanting the righteousness of God to come forth? Are you looking just to be right? Or are you looking to just prove your own way or your own thought, your own idea? What is the motive of your heart? I pray that you are seeking God's will and God's ways with your whole heart, and that your story, your testimony is used to bring forth life in the people that hear it, and that those who would respond would be drawn closer to God. Psalm 63:1 says, O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Oh, water always represents the word of God in Scripture. Very often it represents either the word of God or the realm or a particular realm. And so in this context, it represents the word, meaning the word of God, the life of God, the water of God. Jesus says, you are cleansed by the washing by my word, or the water of the word is what washes us. It cleanses us and it makes us fresh and new. And so you and I, we need a fresh word from God. We need the life-giving word of God, that it would be breathed into us. And we are hungry for it. We are seeking God for it. It says, for as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bear and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, he says, so will my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty or void, without accomplishing what I desire and without succeeding in the manner for which I sent it. In other words, and we've all heard it, God's word will not return void. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? Have you heard that before? That is what God is saying. It will not return. It will accomplish, just like the water and the snow and the rain comes down and waters and brings life, the word of God will bring life to you. Stay true to the word of God. Stay true to the will of God and allow the provision of God to come your way. He will enable you to succeed according to his word. And so verse 12 of 55 demonstrates this. He says, for you will go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills will break forth into shouts of joy before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Hallelujah. You ever been into the field where the trees are and hear them clap their hands? Yeah, you're like, trees, no, wouldn't. Well, that's God's description. Take it up with him. And so he says in verse 13, he says, instead of the thorn bush, the cypress will come up. And instead of the nettle, the myrtle will come up. And it will be a memorial to the Lord for an everlasting sign which will not be cut off. That's God's provision. Instead of thorn bushes, you'll get a cypress tree. Oh, hallelujah. Instead of the nettle, you'll get myrtle. That's a desert plant. That's a desert tree. So you'll be in the desert and you'll get God will have provision even in the dry land, in a desert place. God will build you up. He will make you to be in a place where you have life and you're sustained. He will make provision. He will open doors. You will not be cut off if you seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Then all these things will be added to you, saints of God. So I pray that you understand why you must seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Whom or what do you seek? I pray it is the kingdom of God. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's stand to our feet. Oh, yeah.
Blood of hearts and blood of souls in one desire. Just to know you and to make you know.
Benefits to seeking the Lord and to being able to be faithful to God. Don't get caught up in all of the internet theology that's out there. Don't get caught up in all of the pursuits of the things that you think you might need during a crisis. But know that God will make provision for you. He will open doors for you. He will enable you to be in the right place at the right time to get what you need and to be able to experience the testimony of the Lord for the purpose of impacting someone else's life. God wants to use us to impact the world and to help people be drawn closer to God. And so I pray that you are seeking first the kingdom of God, because what you do with the first will determine what happens with the rest. And if you give God your first, the rest will always be blessed. God will always make provision for his people when we seek first the kingdom of God, when we look to him as our source of life, health, and strength. And so I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that you would enable us, oh God, to hear your voice and follow you, that we would be in pursuit of the kingdom of heaven and of God, and that your will and your ways and your purposes would be accomplished, and that we would be your testimony to even people that we don't know yet, but that we are in the process of building a relationship with, even through our everyday regular routine, seizing the opportunities and the provisions that you bring into our way as we do what you've called us to do each day. In Jesus' name we pray, and we give you thanks for all of these things. Amen, amen, and amen. Well, God bless you all, and thank you for coming to the Orange County Gospel Fellowship today. If you desire prayer, the altars are open. Hallelujah.